To start by reading a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. If he can just help me there. And then I'll just talk about that because I'm at a stage in my life, and I think the church is at the stage of its life where we need to come back to the cross. Just the message of the cross and what it entails. And I'll read for you. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And you can just leave it there because I want us to meditate upon this and what Christ is saying, the message of the cross. And Paul, if you read through the book of Corinthians, Paul is bringing so much correction to this church. There's division in this church. There's incest. There's abuse of spiritual gifts. There's contentions between who's their leader. There's disorder when they've been using the gifts in the church. There's also disorder when they're doing communion. And it's interesting how Paul just brings them back to the cross. And Paul says, look here, guys, this is the message that I've been preaching. None of that what you are arguing about or what's going wrong in our lives should be there if our focus is the cross. And it took me quite some time to figure this out. But I'm seeing it now clearly in Scripture. This is the way that God looks at life, period. Those who are perishing and those who are being saved. That's the only way that God looks at life. He doesn't look at it in any other way. That's why God's not sentimental in any of the choices that he makes, or he's not sentimental when people have to die. Because you know, if your life's in Christ, then you'll meet him. If your life's not in Christ, then you know where you're going. A very warm place, which is very, very uncomfortable. And when I started figuring this out, when I saw this in Scripture about the two ways, it's so precious. And all of us, we're on that broad way, on our way to hell. And what did Christ do? He planted that cross right in that way. And we had to make a choice. And so the choice is there for generations to come, but it's the only thing that can bring life and life being abundantly for us. And so I want to talk about this cross. I want to talk about this cross that is becoming, you know, a modeling statement. You know, you model your cross, all the rappers have a cross, all the singers, they have crosses. It's a symbol that we've been using, and it's more of a fashion statement than anything else. And so I want to talk about this because this cross would confront us in three ways. And this morning, what I want to do, I want to encourage you by this message of the cross. I want to encourage you by this message. It's a beautiful message. It's a glorious message. And the first thing that the cross confronts, if you look at that, those who are being saved and those who are foolish, who's dying, is our self-centeredness. We cannot look at the cross and look how self-centered we are at the same time and think both's going to work. Stuart McAllister has something beautiful that he says. He says, looking good and being good has been replaced, when you look at the cross, by doing good. And so what happens is, in our lives, we want to look good, we want to feel good, but we don't want to be good, and we don't want to do good. You with me? And so that's exactly what the cross challenges, our self-centeredness. And so what I want to say with this is that, when you make a choice, you always make a choice for a lot of other people. And that's why the cross statement is so powerful. If you make a choice, there'll be a lot of people that's being saved. If you don't make a good choice, a lot of people will die if they can't make a choice concerning the cross. But at the same time, if you look at what Christ did on the cross and the blood that was shed on the cross, the most expensive currency ever, that the blood of a man could unite the nations. That the blood of a man can set people free. And so God has a right to make this statement. You're either dying or either living because he paid for you. He paid for me. He has a right to do it. He's sovereign. So he can walk into our lives and he can tell us, you know what? You're self-centered. You're a narcissist. You love watching yourself in the mirror. But at the same time, do you know how encouraging it is? I mean, figure this out, that anybody would do that for us. And I mean, Jesus' biggest victory was when he hung on the cross and he says, Father, they don't know the message. They don't know what they're doing, but God, I'm forgiving them. Buddha can't do it. Plus, he's overweight. Have you seen him lately? Allah can't do it. They've never shed blood. And so it's interesting when we look at the message of the cross, when God, confronts Cain, God says to Cain, your brother's blood speaks, just like the blood of Christ speaks. And I'm trusting God for us as a church and as a movement to come back to that revelation of the cross where the blood will speak, because the blood sets us free. Nothing else can set us free. And so true joy for us would lie in our ultimate sacrifice. And so Jesus makes it abundantly clear concerning the message of the cross. He said, greater love has no one than this, that if one brother will lay his life down for another brother. And Christ did it. Christ knew it. Christ said, you know what, I'm going to lay my life down for you. But Christ could see in the future that all the disciples would be able to do that for him. He could see it. The only one that couldn't was Judas. He spilled his blood for 30 silver coins. That's why he spilled his blood. And so this message is powerful for me, because if we as brothers can look each other in the eye in front of the cross, then we could say, just like this man did for us, I'm doing for you. I'm laying my life down for you. Now that's an army. That's where the cross speaks the loudest. And that's why people will hate us the most. Because there's a willingness to lay our lives down for each other, because it comes from a man that laid down his life for all humanity. That is how his blood speaks. That is what the cross says. And the cross, planted in the middle of all of us, it speaks to our narcissism, it speaks to our self-seeking, it speaks to our greed. It's just so contrary to who we are. It challenges us. It's in front of us, and I know that the cross brings back the fear of the Lord again. Right at that place where everybody is standing in front of Jesus, and he just so beautifully does it, that he would take a criminal, the first person to go with him to heaven after his dispensation on earth stopped was a criminal. He said, my brother, today you choose right. You're going to go with me to the new one. And the other brother, you're foolish, you're perishing. Now, isn't that beautiful? And the fact that Jesus would take a criminal to heaven with him first, it offended a lot of Jews. It still does. It still offends a lot of people. But that's the power of the cross. That's the power of the fact that Christ is not self-centered. That's the power of the cross. When we click it, when we do understand it, our lives change. The second thing that the cross does, it challenges our wisdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, just after that, if you can flag this for me, we'll read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? And so that's what the cross does. The cross comes and the cross tells us, look here, you're not that clever. And I'm so glad that we don't need to be that clever, because the cross speaks on behalf of us. It's foolishness to those who don't want to understand it. And so I say here in my notes, we're either unable or unwilling to understand. And so for those that are unable to understand, we can pray for you. For those that are unwilling to understand, we need to make a few sums here this morning. Because wisdom outside of the relationship of the cross in Jesus Christ is either soulish or it's demonic, as James says. And so Paul confronts his contemporaries. Let the scholars come and speak to me. Let the philosophers come and speak to me. Let us sit in front of the cross and hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and let's see who's stupid. And we know God wins because Paul speaks about a moral deficiency which leads to disaster. I mean, if I must recount now all the stupid things that I've said and done in my life, I'm really stupid, you know, in a good sense. Because if I haven't seen my stupidity, I would never have seen the wisdom of the cross, where I just lacked common sense. I mean, I went to Joburg to teach for 6 months. The only thing that I brought back from Johannesburg with all of my salary was Off the Wall by Michael Jackson. That CD. And my mother asked me, my son, so what did you buy with your money when you were in Johannesburg? I said, Off the Wall, Mom. Michael Jackson. My mom said, my child, how stupid can you be? But it's one of those moments when your mom speaks the truth into your heart and then you realize now what's going on here. If I make my sums, I actually made this 6 months more than 80,000 rand. And all that I have is Off the Wall. When the world is on your shoulders, as Michael Jackson sing, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. But the stupidity outside of the cross, have you seen it at your workplace? Have you heard the reasoning of people outside of the cross? More scary, have you ever reasoned with guys that have met the risen Lord, they're in church, and now you try to talk to them about this lack of common sense? And so scripture's very clear, and that's why Proverbs says, fools are unteachable. It's very difficult to teach a fool. Now, a fool knows what's the right thing to do, but he chooses the wrong thing. Then you get the naive. They're just naive. And there's blessing for that, you know. God will come on. But then there's deliberate guys, and then you get the mockers. You know, like Richard Dawkins that wrote The God Delusion. He's a mocker. He likes mocking God. He has a stupid gang. He has stupid disciples, and they try to prove each other who's the stupidest, you know. You'll be my very stupid elder. Yes, you're my stupid elder, and you imbecile deacon. And we'll prove God together, and we're a gang, but it's foolishness. It's utter foolishness. And I'm always reminded when I'm stupid in my home how God would walk into Job's life. And God would say, who's this there speaking against me? I will ask you questions and then you must answer me. And then you know how they pepper Job with all those questions. And Job cannot answer any one of them. And then we need to understand Christ says in Scripture, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And you know what's beautiful about the wisdom of the cross? It's the only message that can change people's lives. We have the only message that can change people's lives. Any other message is fake. You know what people are trying to do right around the world, and I hope I'm encouraging you. They are trying to manage their problems with philosophy. They are trying to manage their problems with scholarly debates. They are trying to manage their problem with worldly wisdom. But it's the message of the cross that will save. Now, if we look at it and if we listen to it, a man comes to earth, he says he's God. He raises up 12 disciples. He dies. He rose. He went to heaven. That's the message. That's the message. Now that message can change people's, it changed my life. It's a very simple message. And so all of us have our testimonies that will sound stupid to other people, but I'll tell you, if God switches on the light, that message, it brings you into a whole level of love for one another and for the church. Now, it's a simple message. It sounds very simple. But all of us and the world, we are profoundly changed by it. One of our one of our church members, she's a doctor at Worcester Hospital. And she got a distress call at the clinic. And so she told the one doctor that she was working with, look here, when it's a distress call, it's really serious, but you can come with me. A woman had a heart attack. Her heart stopped instantaneously. So now there are 6 doctors and 2 nurses around her at this clinic. They're doing resus and everything. So she says, look here, phone the family, we'll resus her. Until the family comes, we'll try. So after 20 minutes, they look at her pupils. You know, with that torch, does it grow bigger and smaller? Nothing happens. So by that time, she's brain dead because that there's not that happening. 30 minutes, they continue. 40 minutes, they continue with the resus. And she says, now where's the family? 50 minutes. After 1 hour, she's so tired because they had to take turns. Believe me, as I've seen, she explained to me, CPR is really hard work. For all the guys that gym, we must do CPR also. It will help you a lot, you know. She walks to the lady's feet. She's standing there. It's 1 hour now. Nothing. And then God drops the silliest thing in her heart. Pray in your tongues. She's a very shy girl and she starts praying in her tongues. And everybody's looking at her. And then a spike. The woman is moved to ICU. That happened 2 weeks ago. Wednesday, that woman walked into the clinic. The only thing that they could say that was different is just she just spoke a bit slower, but everything's perfect. Where's the philosopher of this age? Where's the wisdom that will be able to do that? The message of the cross is so powerful, which brings me to my final thing is, the message of the cross challenges our sense of power. It challenges our wisdom. It challenges our self-centeredness, and then it challenges our power. God, our foundational, the one who has all the power. Just look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. And I was with you in weakness. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul was weak? Then the Apostle Paul says, I was in fear. And then the Apostle Paul says, I was in much trembling. I can't imagine Paul trembling, but he said it. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And this is the one thing about the cross that challenges me the most. The fact that each one of us in our lives, we will be weak. We will be fearful and we will tremble. Each and every one of us sitting here will come to a situation like that. But that is the place where God will show himself powerful. When all the adrenaline, all the shocks, all the resuscitations, it doesn't work. And you simply just have to pray in your tongue. At that moment when you are so weak, you pray in tongues and things will change forever. You know what? There's constant pressure on all of us to water down the message of the cross. There's constant pressure on us to dress up the gospel. You know why? We try to make the gospel something that is easy to chew, more palatable. It looks better, it looks good, it looks nice. We must make the gospel nice. But the power lies in the fact that everybody that wants to embrace the message of the cross, they have to acknowledge their weakness. They have to acknowledge their fear, their weakness. They have to acknowledge it. Otherwise, the message of the cross will never make sense. And so that is comforting, that when we are weak, God is strong. Now that's so encouraging. You know those evenings when you feel that nobody understands you, not even your husband, and you really want to cry? Or when you as a husband, you're at home, no, you feel nobody understands you, not at your work. Those times when you're alone, like my sister explained, you don't have any answers, but then something happens. Psalms 27 verse 1 happens. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Why should I tremble? David had an understanding of the message of the cross. And the cross is here this morning. If you need strength because you're weak this morning, I want you to come. We're going to start praying for one another because the cross is here. You can come. It's an invitation by God. If you need strength in your weakness, come. I'm finished. I just want to continue where we left off, where we prayed for one another. If you need strength in weakness now, please come. If you need wisdom in a difficult situation, if you need wisdom in a difficult situation, come. We're going to pray for one another now. If the power of the message of the cross doesn't make sense, in other words, it's just still just the Jesus that died. If there's that, I want to pray that you will have a revelation of the cross. If you need a revelation of the cross again, I want you to come. We're going to pray for one another. It's going to be beautiful. There's also healing at the cross. There's also unity at the cross. That's the powerful message of the cross. It's a simple message, but it's a powerful message. If there's any facilitator that can stand in front of these people and just ask them, okay, are you here to receive strength in weakness? Are you here to receive wisdom in a difficult situation? Do you need a revelation of the cross? And do you need healing? If you need healing, I want you to come because there's healing at the cross. We'll trust Christ. It's a family service. I don't want to do it any longer. We're going to do what families do for one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to stand in faith for one another. There's a lady here this morning. You've been having reoccurring dreams and it's really upsetting you. If you're that lady, come. Christ will explain to you why you're having that dreams. At the cross, at the foot of the cross, everything will make sense. Everything will make sense. Dale, what's the song that we're going to sing? Great are you, Lord. Now, isn't that appropriate? At the foot of the cross, we sing, great are you, Lord. At the foot of the cross, we worship an all-powerful King that can raise the dead. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is here this morning. If you need a powerful revelation of just who, if you really have a hunger, God, just show me who you are. I want you to come. We're going to pray that at the foot of the cross, that will happen for you here this morning. As a congregation, can we stand as we start singing the song? There's somebody at your work, you're being verbally abused. People at your work is gossiping about you and they're spreading lies about you. I want you to come here at the cross. We're going to trust God to bring a revelation for you. If that is you, and I'm sensing there's quite a lot of us, there's quite a lot of demons that's coming against your office, who you are. The who you are and what you do is a separate thing. But there's a lot of people that are being attacked at the fact, who are you? And the enemy comes to you and he's challenging you. Who do you think you are? If that is you, if you know there's people coming against your office, I want you to come because there's power at the foot of the cross. I'm encouraged this morning. Psalms 122 verse 1. When they told me that we're going to go to the house of the Lord, I rejoice within my spirit. I'm with my brothers. I'm with my sisters. We're praying for one another. And the cross is going to make sense this morning even more. The power of the cross. The power of the living God. The power of life and life in abundance at a place where you are at your weakest. Let's sing, Dale. Amen. Let's worship Christ.
Pour out. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Yeah. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Just sensing God is saying, you are a church at the cross. You've been at the weakest. But God says He's going to show Himself powerfully through you. And God is saying, I'm sensing really deep down in my spirit, you shouldn't be afraid, you shouldn't be scared. If anything comes against you, He'll show Himself powerfully, because in your weakness, you'll be made strong. And God is just raising you up as a city on a hill that will be preaching the gospel of the cross, the message of the cross. And God says, you've been preaching it all along. Don't dilute it. Don't change it. Stay true and faithful to that. And from amongst you, God says He'll raise up worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. And I'm sensing God is saying, He's taking you back to the upper room, and He'll pour out this fresh, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm sensing a powerful presence of God here this morning that's just affirming every head that He's counting, and it brings joy to Christ. And Christ said that you are His best gift to this area ever, and you should believe in it. And so, Father, thank you that we can stand with our brothers in arms, with everyone that's weak, everyone that needs a miracle, everyone that needs a word of comfort, everyone that needs the strengthening of the knees, everything that is feeble, we can stand with our brothers in arms and we can say, great are you, Lord. Even the breath from our lungs come from you. And we'll shout it and scream it to you, because you are deserving of it, Lord. We give that, Lord, from the depths of our hearts. We belong to you. And we will glorify you, because we stand in faith for everything that you've called us to do. We will not look to the left or to the right, but we will continue to walk on water as you desire of us. And Father, even if our reward is not here, we know that we will receive our reward in heaven. And we look forward to that day when you will give us that new name on the white stone. And you'll say, one, well done, good and faithful servants, for continuing this in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Daddy, if we can just sing that just for the last time, just that it's your breath in our lungs. Church, let's lift up our voices.